Well, God bless everyone today. Really a privilege to be here. And we thank God for the opportunity to minister the Word of God. Hesitated about even coming this morning and last night. We've been in a glorious revival several miles from here at Lenore City, Tennessee. And with Brother Jaime Gonzalez, an all-Spanish church. And we had over 40 souls saved there in three services. So you hesitate about shutting something like that down. And then we were there a few months ago, and Brother Gonzalez is back there. We had 30 souls saved, and most of them are still going on in the house of the Lord. Jaime Gonzalez is a graduate from Sister Gail Myers Bible School in Mexico. I don't know whether he swam the river or just how he got over here from Mexico, but he's here. And he's a legal resident now, and he's had that church 3 years, and Sunday night we had over 200 people there. So that tells us it can be done. I said, that tells us it can be done. Hallelujah. I believe it can be done, Brother Carpenter. And I'm looking around all these wonderful holiness preachers. I believe there's more holiness preachers here, PSI, that's per square inch, than any place I've been in a long time. And we're glad you're here in the house of the Lord. We had other obligations every year. Usually this meeting falls around the same time that our meeting was in Mexico with Sister Gail Myers' work. And so we were not able to be here. But this year, had I known, ever so often it works out where we can go to both places. I didn't realize that. And so I didn't try to make it to Mexico. Came on up to Little Mexico over here at Lenore City with Brother Gonzalez, and we had a wonderful revival there. So we're happy to be here. I want you to just open your heart and let us preach the Word of God to you. And if you'll just help us a little bit, you don't have to stand on your tiptoes and shout amen. I can usually tell whether people are with me or not. When you preach as long as I've preached, you find out that not everybody that's standing up with you is standing up for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you'll turn with me, please, into the book of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. I want to read some scripture there. Why don't we stand for the reading of the word? Because you may get tired of sitting. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shewed you kindness, that you will also shew kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by the cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelled upon the wall. I want to give a couple more scriptures. One of them I'll just quote. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Father, would you anoint us and help us here tonight? Touch my body, Lord. Touch the hearts of the hearers here today. Do the work you want us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless in this service. And the next ministers that will minister, bless them also, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In verse 8 of my text, the Rahab the harlot says, I know the Lord hath given you the land. Rahab the harlot's quite a woman to preach about. Even later, after her conversion, she's still called the harlot for identification. But if you'll study her lineage, you'll see that Christ Jesus, our Savior, came from the lineage of the Rahab the harlot. But in our text tonight, today, Joshua has sent spies out to spy out the land of Canaan. Israel was on their march from the land of Egypt, going to the land of Canaan, the promised land. You know the story of all the conflicts and the many things that happened on their way there. But finally, they're getting closer. Soon they'll be coming to Jericho, and then they'll be coming to Jordan, and then Jericho, and then they'll be going into the promised land that God had promised. So as Joshua sent out these spies, they made their way to the house of Rahab the harlot, possibly the only door that was open to them that they could go into. And when they got into that house, there was a conversation between Rahab and these two men which were spies. Notice she says to the spies, we have heard. And I want to talk to you today on the importance of getting the right message to the world. Somebody is listening to what we have to say, what we have to preach. Somebody's watching our conduct. Our conduct and our speech must not contradict the message we're trying to bring to a lost and dying world. Now listen to me. It is very important that the present day world, this generation, hears the right message. Sometimes the world gets the wrong message from the church. But it's very important that the world gets the right message in this day of multiplicity of programs. As we was riding down with Brother Jaime Gonzalez to this place today, he had on a so-called, hope that's not the station you're on. Is that the station you're on, you had on? You preach on that station we was listening to coming here? Oh, you're good. Because I was going to say so-called Christian station. When they play that old contemporary junk, I just can't get with it. Hallelujah. Let's leave that right there. But it's very important that they get the right message. This is our responsibility, preachers, to get the right message to our people. And that our people go out and give the right message to their loved ones, their friends, and those that they know. Oh, this woman is not a religious woman. Rahab is a harlot. She has fallen into this lifestyle that's very, very terrible. Yet there is faith in this woman. How did she obtain this faith about the God of Israel and the children of Israel? By hearing the report. We draw many conclusions about people we've never met, places we've never been, churches we've never gone to, preachers we don't even know. We hear about them and we draw a conclusion. And many times it has a great bearing on us and our evaluation of that place before we ever get there, or that preacher before we ever met him. Just like Brother Gabbard sitting right here. Before we ever got there, somebody told my wife, you go up there, make sure you don't wear no red dresses. You be careful how you dress up there. They don't allow red dresses. Man, I got up there and I never seen so much red in all my life. You see, we misjudge people by what we hear. Oh, yes. We draw these conclusions from what we hear. Now, this lady says, we have heard about the Red Sea drying up when you came out of Egypt. In other words, we've heard about your deliverance from Pharaoh. We heard about your deliverance when you came out of Egyptian bondage. We heard about the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels of the doors. Well, we knew and heard about the Red Sea drying up, and we've heard about the mighty power of your God to conquer. We heard how he conquered those two mighty kings, the Amorites, and defeated them who lived just on the other side of Jordan. They conquered Sihon and Og. You utterly destroyed them. She was listening to the reports that was coming through. The message the world needs to hear from this church and from every church that's represented here is that there is deliverance with our God. There is power to defeat our enemies. And she said, as soon as we heard that, our hearts melted. And there was no more courage in any man because of you. Rahab says, I wasn't there. I did not see the mighty deliverance from Egypt. I didn't see the lamb slain. I didn't see the blood upon the doorpost. I did not see the Red Sea dry up and this mighty crossing on dry ground. I've heard about the great deliverance. And when I heard about it, I did not have to see those dead Egyptians on the seashore. When I heard about your deliverance, I believed. Hallelujah. When I heard, I believed. Oh, we're going to get down and preach to you here in a little bit. So strap your seatbelts on. But when we heard about these things, she said, your God is done. I realized that the Lord God, he is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And by faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that perished and them that believe not. If there's anything the world needs to hear from the church, is that our God is a God who gives us the victory. A God who will help you triumph. A present help in the time of need. She heard all of these reports of victories. Now listen close. Because I'm down where I want to start preaching to you. In all their conversation between the two spies and Rahab the harlot, not one time did Rahab say, I heard about your grumbling and complaining in the camps of Israel. I heard about your fornication. I heard about your pagan worship. I heard about your backslidings. I heard about your rebellion. I heard about your violations of your law. They happened. But none of these things had she heard about. The only thing the world will ever know about the problems that happen in our churches is for the church to tell the world. Ah, yes. If there's a problem in the local church, the only way the world's ever going to know about it is for somebody to go out from the church and tell it. Rahab had heard none of these things that could enter into her mind and heart and cause her to doubt and not believe in the Israelites' God. Now, how the children of Israel managed to keep all of these faults and failures and sins inside the camps of Israel, I do not know. But they did. For caravan after caravan passed by. Maybe Moses and Joshua instructed the people and said, when those caravans come by, don't you say one word about the faults of the children of Israel. You tell them about our God, how he delivered us, how he brought us out, how he dried up the Red Sea, how we came across on dry ground. But don't you mention our faults. Oh, we're getting ready to approach Jericho. And we're approaching the river crossing of the Jordan River. And if you tell our faults and failures, it's going to prepare a foundation for our failure. So all you tell them is that God is a God that delivers. Caravan after caravan passed. Every time they come by Rahab's place over there, did you hear about that mighty force that's coming through the land, conquering every king, conquering everything that rises up against him? He's the God of heaven. Hear me. Tell him about our victories. Tell him about our deliverance. Tell him about our miracle provisions. Tell him how the water came out of the rock. Tell him how manna fell from heaven. Tell him about God's provision. But don't let one word about our failures out of this camp. Keep them hushed inside the camp, and we'll deal with our own failures inside the camp. Are you getting it? I hope we learn this lesson. I have to admit that I failed in the past because I did not learn this lesson early enough. I wish we could learn from this experience that the world needs not to hear anything outside these four walls except that our God is a God of power and deliverance, and let us deal with our own problems inside the church. Well, I see I'm not getting too close right there, so we're going to get a little closer. Listen to me.
Brother Rick.
Yes.
Not even our children, small children coming up in our home, they don't need to hear it.
Oh, I say amen to that. Hallelujah. I say amen to that. Listen. We must deal with these things. Yes, the holiness people do have discipline. At least, if they're real holiness people, they have rules and regulations. We have things that we must follow and guidelines we must follow. But when they're broken by someone in the church, let's don't run over and tell someone outside the church. And the church, we need to keep our failures inside. For many souls have been discouraged by what they heard. And it seems, and hold on, here's where you need your seatbelts fastened, preachers. It seems that we've got a network of preachers and so-called saints that can't hardly wait to find out if you've got a problem in your church so they can go somewhere and tell somebody else about your problem. And if they call me and I tell them, well, I already heard that, they feel disappointed because they weren't the first to let me know. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Oh, we have some that feel like that's their special ministry, just to keep up with all the things that are going on in the holiness ranks. But how many souls have been lost? How many souls have been discouraged? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we need to, all the world needs to hear from us that we have been delivered, that we are victorious. Rahab never heard anything that would cause her to lose faith in the people of God or the God of the people. They need to know that the church still looketh forth as the moon, or as the morning, fair as the moon and clear as the sun, and as terrible as an army with banners. The elders of Israel, they had been right in the camps of Israel. They had been eyewitnesses of the mighty acts of God. They saw God's power fall time and time again, but they fell with unbelief and perished. But Rahab had only heard the wonders God had wrought. Yet she believed with great assurance and says, I know the Lord hath given you the land. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea for you and brought you out of Egypt. Blessed are they which have not seen yet believed. As most of you know, I do quite a bit of missionary work. I see Brother Caraway back there. He's been with me. And Brother Meadows right there. And Brother Jaime's been with me. And God's done great things. Brother Shoecraft back there, He's used to go with me, and I don't know. We join this network down here I'm talking about or what, but no, I don't think so. Hallelujah. But anyhow, we love Brother Shoecraft. They've all been great blessings to us. But I remember one time when I first started working in Panama. I went into a certain village, and I had Tryphena Faye and Charlie. Remember Charlie? You can't forget him. And they were with me, and she could interpret. And we went into this village, and there's so many idols there, and so much idolatry. And I preached from John 3:16, and I did not have much results. Finally, someone come and ask after the service if I'd come, an old man, if I'd come and pray for his wife who had been laying in a hammock for several weeks, unable to get up. And here's what he said. Said, our gods can't help. Can your God help? We heard that you have a different God. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. So I said, yes, I'll go. And when I got there, some heard the story before, but I got there. This old woman was in a hammock. Couldn't even see her. She'd buried down the hammock. Two old witch doctors, one at one end of the hammock and one at the other end of the hammock. And they were chanting. And they had their little idols underneath the hammock. They had their live coals of fire burning underneath the hammock. They had fruits that they had offered to their gods underneath that hammock. And they killed some kind of animal and sprinkled the blood underneath the hammock. Wrong blood. Wrong blood. So this old man wanted me to pray. And I said, well, I will pray for your wife. And I had a little bottle of anointing oil. I said, I'll pray for her as soon as you get these witch doctors out of here. I'm not going to pray for her as long as they're here. He went over and talked to them, and boy, they got angry. I mean, they just got plumb mad. They wasn't going to leave. I said, okay. He said, they won't go. I said, all right. I started out with my interpreter, and I didn't have on a jacket too hot. And somebody got me by the shirt tail, pulled my shirt tail completely out of my trousers. I turned around. There was this old man. He just crying. Said, please, ask your God to help. Ask your God to help. So I said, well, get these guys out of here. I'll pray. He went over and kept talking, and finally, reluctantly, they threw sand on the coals of fire. They gathered up their little gods, and they gathered up their other trophies there to their gods, and they marched out of that place. And I walked over and looked in that hammock, and I saw the face, the wrinkled face of an old Indian woman. Now, let me tell you something. Faith can be found in a lot of places that you and I would not even dare to look. When I walked over and spoke to her, she looked up at me. And she started talking in her language. And of course, I couldn't understand it. And my interpreter said, she's wanting you to pray for her. She's saying her gods can't help. And she heard that you have another God. Oh, we got to tell it, folks. We do not serve the gods of this world. That's why I feel uncomfortable down here around Pigeon Forge. I don't mess around in all of this stuff. Hallelujah. You go on and look however you want to do. But I'm not. You're not going to catch me in these places. You're not going to catch me at Six Flags. You're not going to catch me over there at Branson. You're not going to catch me in those places. Somebody say amen. You're not going to catch me over at King's Island. Don't catch me around those places. Boy, it's awful quiet. Am I in here all by myself? Huh? Somebody else in here with me? But listen to me. If the world sees us talk the same talk and walk the same walk and dress the same dress, and when their heart beats with the thrills of the football player, our hearts rush too, they're not going to have much confidence in our God. But when they see that we have come out from among them and we're separated people because we have a holy God who demands holiness out of us, who says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers with her of her sins. Oh, when they see that we're separated, when we're different, Brother Ryan, come on, you used to say amen to this kind of preaching. You're still saying amen, aren't you? Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. My buddy here, my friend. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen. She said, I heard you have a different God. Can your God help me? I said, yes, my God can help you. If you'll believe in Him and believe in His Son. And when I said those words, Sister Shaw, is like a strange light just seemed to break out on that old wrinkled face. She looked up and said, your God has a son? I said, yes, He does. She said, what is His son's name? Man, what a question. What a question. What is His son's name? That gave me the opportunity to tell her about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm not here to campaign for McCain. I'm not here to campaign for Hillary Clinton. I'm not here trying to push Mitt Romney or any of these other jokers over. I'm here to campaign for Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no matter who gets voted in, if they do get voted in and time lasts, they'll only last 8 years at the most. But my King rules and reigns forever. Of His kingdom there and His rule there shall be no end. Oh, He's not in for just a 4-year term, brother. Oh, He's from beginning to the ending. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So I started telling this lady about Jesus. I started way back when man was lost. Indians, Choco Indians, Kuna Indians, the whole world was lying under the penalty of sin because we've all sinned. And then I started telling her how God sent His Son, Jesus, as a babe into the world. But that He did not stay a babe, but He grew up and became a man, and the world hated Him. But He looked out and saw the sins of all the world. I said, that included your sins. And He said, I'll go die on the cross for this old Choco women's sins. I told Him He didn't only just die for the Americans. A lot of people here in the United States think God only died for the Americans. Jesus, no. I said, He died for the whole world. So I kept telling her about Jesus dying. I told her about the stripes they laid upon His back for the healing of our bodies. I told her about His burial. Oh yes, not only just dying. Too many people leave Him on the cross. But He went to the grave. But on that third day, Shaka Mohota Mahasaya, on that third day, He rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and sent a message back. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Whew. I gave about it. So you can't get anointed preaching to one. I was better anointed that day than I am right now. Whew. Just one. Preaching to one through an interpreter. But I got anointed. Oh yeah, you can get anointed, brother, when you start telling people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Finally, she looks up at me. In Espanol, hermano Jaime, a mixed language. She said two words in her language. Yo creo. I believe. I never did anoint her. I never said a prayer for her. When she said those two words, she rolled up out of that hammock, stood upon those feet, and began to walk. Somebody needs to hear the message that Jesus is still a healer, a savior. Oh, hallelujah. She went all through that village the next day telling everybody there is a God that's got more power than our God. And He has a son, and His name is Jesus Cristo. The world has their gods. You saw them on the billboards when you drove in here. You saw the world's idols. But I'm glad that I know Jesus and I know who He is. Let me hurry on. This woman says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. That happened 40 years before this, approximately. And she had heard that message. And faith went into her heart 40 years. While the children of Israel could not keep the faith, here is a harlot woman, a Gentile woman held on to that faith for 40 years. Those people are coming one of these days. They're coming with their God and they're going to conquer us. That was her faith that was in her heart. She said, we heard when that sea dried up. And then, just recently, we heard about your God who defeated those Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. That has happened recently. The world needs to know that our victories are not all in the past. Oh, yes. I'm almost 73 years old. I've got a lot of victories in the past. But thank God I'm still having victories now. And souls are still being saved now. People are still being sanctified. People are still turning in their jewelry. Woo! Still cleaning up, Brother Savage. When they hear the holiness message. And some are being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we don't need just a God that's a God of far off yesterday. We need a God who lives up to Jesus' reputation. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And brother, the world needs to know that the church still possesses the same power. Oh, a lot of things have come in. True. Somebody let down their job at the gate. A lot of things have come in the holiness church that shouldn't have came in. But the world doesn't need to know about that. What we need is more Phinehases in the church. Oh, whenever that, when that man came in, that Israelite came in with that Moabitess woman. Oh, yes. And while the children of Israel were weeping at the door and at the gate of the tabernacle, he took her to his tent and was committing adultery with her right in his tent. And old Phinehas rose up. He didn't wait on those old elders. He was just a young man, but he rose up and ran and got him a javelin. And he went to that tent and he pierced them both right through their bellies, both the man and the woman. And God gave him a covenant of peace for him and his seed forever for that act that he did. It wasn't time to sing a hallelujah song. It was time to put sin out of the camp of Israel. Some people think you can just sing a song, drive the devil away. I was at a holiness meeting some time ago, and I got to hurry because Brother Lynn Head's back here. Oh, listen. But I was at a holiness meeting here a while back, and this guy gets up and said, somebody bring me a broom before I preach. So I thought, well, you're going to preach an illustrated message, maybe like Joey Hyde or Don Rich or something. They got him a broom. All right, I want you to go back to those two doors. Some of you men, hold those doors open. So I'm getting ready to sweep the devil out of this place. And boy, he went right down that aisle, sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. When he got tired, he handed the broom to somebody else. They swept and finally slammed the door. I'm here to tell you, the spirit of darkness was still there. Oh, yes. He's going to always be there until we, through the name of Jesus Christ, cast the devil out. There's another thing that's getting over in our holiness churches. Oh, I believe sometimes we must counsel with people. We must try to lead them right. But we're leaving the truth of the word and we're getting into counseling services. Nowhere will you find where they ever counseled a devil out. Jesus cast them out. You heard me hurry. Let me hurry. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 40 years passed. When the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, it parted just like the Red Sea. The world needs to hear the fact that the same deliverance from sin in the world and enemies of the past, the Lord will give us in this day. The world needs to hear about our good services, like I told you about the services we had at Brother Jaime Gonzalez's church. They need to hear about the healings, like Sister Rich received. Stand up, Sister Rich. Let me see how good you look. I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't care if she is 70 years old, still a pretty woman. Hallelujah. They need to hear about our provisions. They need to hear evangelists about whenever you was down to nothing. And the Lord somehow worked a miracle and you kept moving on preaching the word. They need to hear about the souls that have been saved and delivered from alcohol, drugs, and sins. Rahab never heard that there were 10 commandments. Maybe that's why she told that lie. Whenever they asked her, "Has these men come into you?" And she said, "She told something wasn't true, didn't she?" But she didn't have no 10 commandments. She never heard that there were 10 commandments. She knew nothing about the do's and don'ts of the Jewish law. She knew nothing about the 10 commandments. She knew nothing about the failures of Israel. She just knew about God bringing them deliverance after deliverance from their enemies. I was in a business in Oklahoma City a few weeks ago. I'd ruined a wheel on my Lincoln car, and they just don't give them chrome wheels to you. And I was in a place in Oklahoma City where they told me they sold them, and I went up there, and twice, they took me back in the back, and twice, Brother Shaw, I saw signs in that building that said these words: "Don't let any mistake leave this place of business." That'd be a pretty good slogan for the Holiness Church, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. It's hard to get people saved when you tell them how to live before they get saved. Am I right? But we need to tell them we know a God that can deliver you. A God that can set you free. Oh, yes. But this woman knew nothing about their do's and don'ts. She knew nothing about their discipline. But she is willing to make a covenant and put her life on the line and say, "My life for your life." And she turned from her idols to the living God. We tell people in the Holiness Church, you have to quit this, come to this church. Or you can't go there if you come to this church. Or you can't wear this or that if you come to this church. And we're speaking to unregenerated people who don't know anything about our standards. We are paving the road for failure and winning them to Jesus. These things come after we're saved, yes. You don't get holy before you're saved. But after you're saved, sure, there is orders and forms and governments and disciplines. But they are subsequent to our salvation. Rahab had no Bible, no tapes, no church, none of your books, brethren. She didn't have any of them. She had no preacher. No choir singing. All she saw is, here comes another caravan. Wonder what they got to say about those people from Israel. Oh yeah, we saw those people over there. They're mighty. Their God is a mighty God. You folks better be careful when they get here. They're destroying everything that gets in their path. She heard testimony after testimony after testimony. Anybody got a watch or a clock? Am I going too long? Hallelujah. Brother Lynn said, come on and preach. All right, I'm trying here. Listen, she heard about deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. And she was willing to subscribe to all the tenets of faith that Israel held just to have their God of deliverance. And holiness won't be so hard if people see and know that our God is a God of power, a God of mighty acts. A God that can heal folks of cancer like Sister Rich or my son-in-law who was diagnosed with kidney failure and almost died. They put him on dialysis 4 or 5 times a week. He walked in to church one day having to pray for him. God just knocked him out. Fell on the floor and shook like a leaf on a tree for well over a half an hour. Got up and went back the day he's supposed to, that was on Sunday, on Monday, when he's supposed to take the dialysis, and told him, said, "I'm not getting on the machine no more." 3 doctors met him. They told him, "You'll either be back on this machine in less than 2 weeks or you'll be dead." How long has it been, Sister Rich? Over 6 months now, working every day, going right on. Hey, folks need to know about stuff like that. I said, they need to know about stuff like that. They need to hear about that. Let's go on just a little bit farther. Rahab heard about deliverance after deliverance. Yes. And she said, "I'll subscribe to every tenet of faith those Israelites have if I can have their God for my God." Is that the message we're getting out? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to hurry here. Joshua came in to that city. He recognized the covenant they had made with that harlot. She'd hang a red thread, a cord out the window. The only house in the entire city that had a red cord. You may be different, lady, with your long hair, your long dress. Everybody else may be wearing Wranglers. Rahab was different too, wasn't she? Whew. This ought to preach a little holiness in this place, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been preaching over Brother Jaime's, and his people loved it. They loved it when I tightened it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this Rahab was the only woman, the only house. She, man, stood out like a sore thumb. She stood out as the woman that had the covenant. What are you doing, Rahab, with that red cord hanging out your window? Them Israelites is coming. They're conquering everything in their way. And this is my token of my covenant. Hallelujah. That's why I got the blood right here. Hallelujah. That's a token of my covenant with the Lord. Thank God for the blood. I said, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Let's don't tell of our faults and failures. When Joshua came in, the walls fell. In verse 22 of the 6th chapter, don't have time to go there. But Joshua had said to those two men, the spies, that went to spy out the country, bring Rahab the harlot and all that she has with her in outside of these walls and into the house. What a powerful testimony she had, Sister Head. She was able to give such a powerful testimony that she got her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters inside the house that was under the covenant. That's more than I've been able to do. I've still got loved ones outside, but I'm still trying to get them inside. Oh, what a powerful testimony. One other thing I want to bring out. When those walls fell, Rahab and her family and all of her belongings was outside as the city burned with fire, and she realized she had the same God that the Israelites had. While the rest of the world was perishing, she was secure and safe. You remember reading in 1 Samuel 31, Saul and his three sons, King Saul, had fallen dead on Mount Gilboa under the hand of the Philistines, their arch enemy. And when David heard about it, did he go tell it? No, he lamented and said, how are the mighty fallen? And then he tells his men, tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Don't tell about our failures. Yes, we've had men that's went wrong. We've had good holiness men that could preach better, much better than I can. I took down the wrong road. And it's just by the grace of God that I continue with you almost 50 years in the holiness way. That's the only way I continue, Randy. You're just a boy come out there to Oklahoma. I had a rolling then. Still rolling, not quite as fast. Hallelujah. But oh, listen what I'm telling you. It's by the grace of God we're kept by the power of God. So how many would just be honest? Say, Brother Rich, I'm going to be more careful about the message that the world hears from me. For there are ears that's listening. As Brother Shaw said, children and relatives sometimes hear the conversation of the parents. Not only them, but an unregenerated world hears about the faults and failures. And you know what the enemies of the Lord do? They rejoice. They rejoice. There are those who do not sleep unless they cause someone to fall. That's what the Bible said. So today, may God bless you. Been feeling bad. Had to